Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome on in, folks, to a December 3rd edition of Sports Talk. It is Tuesday. We're getting ready for the Saints Hour coming up with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haws, and Executive Vice President and GM Mickey Loomis. Joining them will be Jeff Ireland, along with Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl, then also Daryl Moose Johnson talking about the Saints and Giants game. 8 o'clock, we'll have Pelicans Weekly. That's a half-hour show for Insider's Perspective. That's all on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Speaking of those Pelicans, another rough one the other night. Loss for the Pellies, now 8 in a row for New Orleans. And it seemed like they had more, at least, oomph to them in this game, but down the stretch again, Charlie, they just weren't able to close out an opponent. The shooting in the game was abysmal between both teams, and I'm just wondering, when are we going to see this Pel squad be able to come alive and scratch one off in the win column again?
I hate to be that guy, but it was their 9th straight loss.
9 straight.
Yeah. And I think 15 of the last 16, it's just been a complete free fall. Now, you know, the worst part about it was that because DeJounte is still returning from that fractured hand, he shot like 2 of 15 last night. And all the Hawks fans, man, they're dancing on Pels fans' graves with the Dyson Daniels trade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You knew Dyson was out for blood last night.
And Dyson, I mean, he had a good game, and he's a good player. But, and this is the issue now with the Pelicans looking to tank, because if they do decide to, in fact, just completely blow it up, that Dyson Daniels trade looks really bad, Steve. But, you know, I mean, this, it's just been a nightmare. The game against Atlanta was at least competitive. Like, they went into halftime with a lead even.
Right.
But in the second half, Atlanta just got to the paint at will. Willie talked about that in the post game. He said too many easy baskets. I mean, points in the paint was 74-54 in favor of the Hawks in the game. They out-rebounded the Pelicans as well. It was another ugly loss and a string of ugly losses.
Yeah, you got to wonder, when are we going to get some of these guys back to, obviously, there's been talk about Zion Williamson not being ready to come back. Sham Sharania joined the Pat McAfee show and talked about the latest with Zion Williamson. You got that clip ready, Charlie? All right, hit it, and here's what Sham Sharania had to say about Zion Williamson on the
Pat McAfee show. Hold on, I did see something. Zion Williamson got a whole new back tattoo.
Yeah,
you remember that?
It was sick.
That was not the conversation, though, about that video. Everybody said, sweet back tattoo. Also, what's going on here? What is going on right now with our guy Zion? Zion, is he playing? I know back tat looks sweet. Everything else everybody was talking about. But what's going on with Zion down there?
Zion Williamson's been out, I believe, since around the first week of November. I think November 8th, November 9th. I don't have early November time period. He's still out. It's about a month later, a little under a month later. He's not close to coming back.
Jeez.
He's not going to be back this week. He's not going to be back next week. Good news for the Pelicans, from what I'm told. He did start to get on the basketball court over the weekend. They were in New York for a game against the Knicks on Sunday. So he got on the court. But very, very light activity from what I was told. And this is going to be a gradual. We know about the steps. We know about the steps.
The warm-up. The warm-up.
One-on-one, two-on-twos,
three-on-threes. Get him through his progression. You know, it is tough for Zion, though, because he came into the season, guys. He's the lightest he's weighed since his rookie year. He came in great shape. And to have him hurt already, and that hamstring, it's been a chronic issue for him. He's had multiple hamstring strains over the last few years, so he can't catch a break. He's out. We'll see exactly when he's going to be back. Is it going to be at the end of this month? Is it going to be into January? The Pelicans don't know.
You heard there from Sham saying that the Pels do not know when Zion will return from this hamstring issue. I don't know what to say anymore, Charlie, with this. It's been a nightmare.
I mean, shake a magic eight ball. It will give you the answer that you're looking for here. I don't even know. Like, none of us know. And when we were talking with Chris Dawson about this a couple weeks ago, he said the biggest issue that he has with Zion is the communication or lack thereof. None of this is, like, None of this is communicated to the fans. And trust me, if we knew, we would let you know. Oh, Zion's planning to come back around Christmas time. Oh, Zion's planning to come back at the start of the new year. I mean, who knows, Steve? We sure don't. He could be out until, I don't know, the All-Star break. Maybe past that. The trade deadline, nobody knows. It's a chronic hamstring issue that Shams was talking about. But still, it's a mess.
And it seemed like last night, too, there was a chance that Brandon Ingram was going to suit up. You saw him going through some warm-ups, but then it came out that he was out for the game and now dealing with plantar fasciitis. That's not good either. It was initially, I thought, just a calf injury, and it seems like it's more than that, obviously, for B.I. And I know he has new representation. Good old Clutch Sports, which nobody can like to hear that. Obviously, we know what happened when Anthony Davis went over there. It was a whole nightmare situation dealing with Rich Paul.
Exactly, and that was an ugly exit. And I don't know. That's one thing that I guess I would combat Dotson about, because I love Chris Dotson. He's been a great guest every time we have him on. But he kind of thought it was a good thing that Brandon Ingram and Zion were both changing agencies in the middle of the season. I think Brandon signing with Clutch, like, he is gone. Now, I don't know. Like,
the question is, who's going to pay Brandon Ingram what he's looking for?
Well, that's the issue. What's the market for him? He went from having
Pels tried to trade him.
Yeah, well, I think there was a report that they had tried to potentially trade him to Utah, but then he wasn't willing to sign an extended contract with Utah. So,
right.
It's a mess.
I thought that Sacramento was also a team that might have been close or interested in him, and they just couldn't get a deal put together.
Seeing Brandon, you know, the calf injury that popped up, he was supposed to be day-to-day, but now he's missed five straight games, and we don't know when he's going to come back because now it's become plantar fasciitis.
Right.
Two separate issues being reported here, but seeing him on the bench kind of yucking it up with Zion and Jose when they're down 30 points to New York on Sunday, it's a bad look, Steve. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's a really, really bad look.
No, and I know, obviously, they're spectators there, and who knows what the conversation they were having, but you're like you're saying, it's the optics. It's not a good look of you're down 30 points, and you've got some of your stars yucking it up there and, you know, going all about like everything is hunky-dory and having a good time, and this team is struggling clearly without them.
It's a rotten org right now, Steve. I mean, it is not – nothing has gone well. 9 straight losses, once again, 15 in the last 16, and your 2-star players, who even knows when they're going to be playing basketball again? It's just, it's a mess.
That's why Mike Dettillier talking about with Willie Green not surviving, it's really hard to put any kind of blame on Willie, but I get it. There needs to be some kind of change right now, and maybe a new voice will help this team put something together, but you got 4 wins total on the season right now, and you're sitting at the bottom of the Western Conference with the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, and look at how optimistic we all were entering this year. I mean, a team coming off 49 wins. Everyone was all excited. You make the trade for DeJounte Murray, and you get your point guard. Oh, wow, the Pelicans are going to be one of the sleeper teams in the Western Conference. I mean, Steve, we're 22 games into the season now, and you have 4 wins. I mean,
no, now we're already, you know, thinking about those lottery balls.
Yeah, you're playing Capture the Flag in December, which I don't think any of us were expecting.
We're going to take a break when we get back. It's a big day tomorrow with the early signing period in college football starting. We'll get a breakdown of what to expect from the LSU Tigers. Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, will join us right here after the break. So stay tuned on WWL right after this. Sports Talk, more after the break. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller and Charlie Long. Take it till 7 o'clock tonight. That's when the Saints Hour with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawson, Executive Vice President and General Manager of the Saints, Mickey Loomis, will take over. Stay tuned and hear all their special guests as well. And after that, we'll also have the Pelicans Weekly, a half-hour show for an insider's perspective. That's all on WWLAMFM.com and, of course, the Odyssey app. Joining us now, Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. We're talking about that early signing period starting up tomorrow. Zach, how you been? I know it's been probably really busy for you, especially today.
That's an understatement.
Right.
Yeah, man. Today's been one of the busiest days in a while, but glad to sit back, recap with you guys, and talk some ball.
Appreciate it. I was going to lead off with, obviously, the news this morning when we heard that the corner and Cade Phillips flipping to Texas. Wondering your thoughts on this for the LSU Tigers, what it means for them going forward. Are they going to have to maybe attack the recruiting trail more for a corner, or do you look more in the transfer portal for one now?
Yeah, I've had the chance to talk with Cade Phillips quite a few times, and it's a spectacular kid, both on and off the field. And, of course, 8 days ago, he was locked in with LSU, but we're in the wild, wild west right now, man. It's a ridiculous time period where people are throwing around money that it's hard to pass up on. Spoke to him again this morning, and all signs obviously pointed towards Texas Longhorns ultimately getting his signature, and that's what's going to happen. So it's a big-time loss for LSU, man. I love Cade Phillips. I love his game. I think he's a tremendous player, and I think he's only scratching the surface. So the Longhorns are certainly getting a good one, man. They're getting a really talented player. And then you look forward now to what does LSU do in the cornerback room for the future, and you're going to have to transfer portal and go get one to two guys. And I'd lean towards them going to get two. There's a couple of names out there that are circulating right now, and it starts with Jakeem Jackson, who's a transfer from Florida. Corey Raymond recruited him, so I'd expect to see him kind of be a guy that LSU targets, and that's Jakeem Jackson from Florida. He entered the portal today, so we'll see what they do on that front. Obviously, it's too early to tell kind of which direction they'll lean in. But, of course, with the loss of Cade Phillips, you got to attack the portal, get some experienced guys, and work from there.
Are we hearing any rumblings on another corner in DJ Pickett? I know there was teams like a Miami and a Georgia that were trying to lure him over there.
Yeah, you got Miami, Oregon, Georgia, et cetera, of course, swinging for the fences. It's the 11th hour. It's crunch time now. You're going to see some major money tossed around to these kids to see what will happen. He's coming off of a multi-day stay in Baton Rouge where he came in on Friday, departed on Sunday. LSU ultimately got the final face-to-face visit with DJ Pickett. The visit went well, according to people that I spoke with, and now we kind of wait to see if pen touches paper, and all signs would point towards that hopefully being the case, but emphasis on the word hopefully. You just don't know anymore in this day and age. Anything can happen at the final second, so we'll see if LSU can seal the deal there, and they'd be more than happy to get a guy like DJ Pickett on board after this wild recruiting kind of last few weeks they've had.
Zach, hopping from cornerback to quarterback, I wanted to ask you, because obviously we all know what happened with Bryce Underwood's flip from LSU to Michigan and the bag that he kind of got from the Wolverines there. But you put out an article earlier on Sports Illustrated. I want to get, you know, let you share it to people about Bryce Baker, a quarterback from North Carolina, who was originally a North Carolina commit, but Mac Brown got fired. Obviously, we know the situation there with the Tar Heels. So what's kind of the latest on Bryce Baker, a four-star commit out of North Carolina that LSU's trying to throw their hat in the ring for?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. He's a fantastic player, and he remains committed to North Carolina at this moment. He's awaiting to see what's going to happen with their coaching change after Mac Brown got fired. But to this moment, he's still with North Carolina. He went and visited Penn State last weekend, and now he's delayed his signing. He's not going to sign during the early period. He's going to push it back a little bit, and that gives LSU an advantage here. It gives them an opportunity to potentially get a visit lined up, continue to get more dialogue rolling with him, and see if they can kind of pick up some ground here, pick up some momentum with the guy in Bryce Baker. He's a fantastic quarterback. We'll see what happens. He's been committed to North Carolina for about a year and a half now. He's been loyal to that program, and he's kind of just evaluating his options here. We'll see if LSU can pick up a little bit of ground there, but it's a long shot, it appears. But who knows, man? Once again, third time I've saying it, anything can happen nowadays.
Yeah, curious on your opinion of what we can expect tomorrow from a guy like Jakeem Stewart. Obviously, the story of this young man is pretty amazing to consider. You know, 17 years old, really hasn't played much varsity football, but is obviously so talented and sought after. The LSU team has a chance to keep him in state, but I know there's other teams like a USC, Oregon coming to call in for this guy and expecting a pretty heavy bag for him as well. But where do the Tigers stand with their trying to land Jakeem Stewart, trying to keep him in Louisiana?
Zach, Mike called him the biggest wild card of tomorrow. Like, nobody knows what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic take. I think Jakeem Stewart is obviously a unicorn, to put it kindly. I mean, this guy is a fantastic player. 6'6", 290, moves really well for his size, and kind of getting away from the evaluation perspective, we know how talented he is. He's uber talented. He's a five-star. So getting back to where things stand there, USC is the team to beat right now. The Trojans rolled out the red carpet and then some on that official visit on November 16th on that weekend. And LSU has some ground to make up there. They did that over the last couple of days. We'll see where things stand come tomorrow. Frank Wilson is obviously as elite of a recruiter as it gets when it comes to those New Orleans natives, those in-state guys. We'll see what they can do down the stretch. USC appears to be the team to beat right now. The 11th hour is here. We're approaching that time. We'll see if LSU can continue chipping away. It looks like USC is the team to beat, but LSU's not going to go down without a fight.
Hop in from early national signing day to some transfer portal news today. I mean, there was a couple players that hopped in and maybe a few surprises to some people. I wanted to ask you first about Deshaun Womack and him hopping in the portal. You know, Mike and I have talked about him a little bit, that he's got the talent. He's a little bit raw. And so wherever he goes, he's going to have a good coaching staff to kind of teach him up. But, you know, a high ceiling type of player that hopped in the portal for LSU on the defensive line.
Yeah, Deshaun Womack is a super talented player. Obviously, he was a five-star out of high school, and he has all the potential in the world. He couldn't quite crack the rotation when it came to meaningful snaps, especially this year when you had a 1-2 punch of Savion Jones and Braden Swinson. I mean, those two guys were playing at an elite level for most of the season. They might have trended a little bit downwards towards the end and didn't keep that momentum, but they played well this season enough to keep a guy like Deshaun Womack off of the field. So now he has an opportunity to enter that free agent market again, see where he stands, see what programs are reaching out to him. Like you said, man, he is a sky-high potential. This is a guy who has all the intangibles, 6'5", 250, moves really well. It's a player that's certainly going to be sought after in the portal. It's a shame LSU isn't going to have him next year, but nonetheless, extremely talented player who's going to thrive at his next destination, of course.
And then the one that was a little bit surprising, but then the more you kind of look into it, it makes a little bit more sense, is C.J. Daniels. And yeah. Brian Kelly had made the comment, I believe it was a week ago or so at this point, where he was just like, oh, yeah, we're expecting to have him back, and now he's hopped in the portal. And the timing of it, you know, it's a little bit too good to be true, right, Zach, where, you know, Caden Salter, the Liberty quarterback, obviously C.J. Daniels, a Liberty transfer, hops in the portal. So maybe this could be like a package deal with C.J. Daniels and the quarterback that threw him 1,000 yards just two seasons ago.
Yeah, I'm going to echo most of that, kind of echo the same sentiment there, where initially I was a little bit caught off guard as well, just because he had come out publicly and said he thought that it would be smart for him to come back. Brian Kelly said the same thing. And then the more you dig into it, the more you think about it, the more it makes a little bit more sense. He can link up with Salter again, and they can dominate if they go somewhere together, like you said, a potential package deal. But C.J. Daniels is a fantastic player. The numbers might not say it with a little bit over 400 yards and no touchdowns, but man, he was banged up all year. He was dealing with a heel injury, lower body injuries left and right. He wasn't 100%, and it's a shame because that was kind of your lead guy coming back next year. He's a fantastic blocker. He has fantastic IQ. He's just a really good football player all around and a great guy to be around in the locker room. So it's a shame LSU won't have it next year, but wherever he goes, he'll make an impact, which, of course, LSU fans don't want to hear because you want to have him on your roster, of course. But nonetheless, he's going to explore his options, see where he goes. And like you said, I wouldn't be surprised to see that Liberty duo kind of link up once again.
Zach, is there anybody out there that you think that LSU has a chance to flip to the Tigers from another team?
Yeah, I think the name to watch out for right now is five-star interior offensive lineman Solomon Thomas.
Okay.
He's currently committed to Florida State. He's a fantastic player. He's a five-star, like I was saying. And LSU's really made up some ground here. They got him in town for week 13, that November 23rd day, for an unofficial visit. He was with Brad Davis. I saw him on the sidelines with some former players. Just getting one-on-one time with people to kind of pick their brains and see what LSU's all about. Like I said, he's been committed to Florida State for a little bit now. He's awaiting to see what coaching hire they make. It'll be interesting to see if he does sign during the early signing period, but all signs kind of point towards him doing just that. So it's a three-team battle here between LSU, Florida, and Florida State. We'll see if LSU can come out on top and secure his services, but a five-star flip during the early signing period would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now we'll kind of sit back and see if Brad Davis and company can pull it off.
Yeah, I was about to say, we got to see if Coach Davis can put on the full-court press here and figure out a way to get him flipped. But real quick, before we let you run, Zach, I wanted to get your thoughts on Coach Kelly's comments from, I think it was about a week ago, once again, where he was talking about the transfer portal. And everything that we've heard from him for basically the first 3 years that he's been here is that he wants to build through the high school ranks. He wants to build through high school recruiting. It's going to be a high school recruited team. And now the latest thing, after an 8-4 season, he comes out and says that they're going to be very aggressive in the transfer portal, may have one of the biggest transfer portal classes out there. I just want to get your thoughts on Coach Kelly's change of philosophy, because it felt like, you know, and I don't want to disparage him too much, but it kind of felt like avoiding the transfer portal, not necessarily avoiding because it's a bad word, but not putting too much of an effort into it, is kind of an old school thinking for a new era of college football.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, of course. I think in the short term, you have to sit back and evaluate the transfer portal because You're coming off of an 8-4 year. You've regressed so much. You got to go get talent in the short term, and Brian Kelly understands that. So kind of tying the two things apart, long term, obviously you build through the high school ranks. Brian Kelly has echoed that sentiment numerous times. But coming back to his comments right now about being very aggressive in the portal, it's all about the short term. You got to reconstruct this roster, and you got to go get some talent immediately so that you're competitive in 2025. Obviously, this wasn't the LSU standard in 2024, so now you got to go out, be aggressive, get some guys in the portal this year. And it sounds like they're going to be doing just that. You're going to get double-digit guys from what it sounds like in the transfer portal. He's not really contradicting himself in a way. He's just kind of putting in a way that you got to be aggressive now in the short term, build through high school in the long term, in short.
Love your work, Zach, and appreciate the time, especially during this crazy busy time. Have a good one and enjoy tomorrow, man.
I appreciate it, man. You guys have a good night.
Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, joining us there. You can follow him on Twitter at ZNaggy20. I recommend you do that, especially.
No, he does great work.
With that early signing period tomorrow, you know it's going to be some really good highs I'm expecting for tomorrow, but then, you know, those lows come too. I don't know if there are any flips or if you really have a chance at Jakeem coming to LSU over USC.
I was joking with Zach when he was coming on. I was just like, man, you haven't had much to do today. But, I mean, tomorrow's just going to be just as busy for him. So, but, yeah, go check out Zach's work on Sports Illustrated. It's great stuff.
We are taking a break. Be back with more Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Mentioned that coming up at 7, we've got the Saints Hour here on WWL AMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, over on the Bet 92.9 and 1350 AM starting 7:30, LSU basketball taking on Florida State tonight. That's an 8 o'clock tip-off. Tigers 6-1 on the season, taking on 7-1 Seminoles. Here's what head coach Matt McMahon had to say as his Tigers get ready for this matchup tonight.
A great opportunity for us against you know, a really good Florida State team. Always have great respect for Coach Hamilton and his teams. They're elite defensively. You know, when you look at the numbers, you know, fifth in the country in block percentage, fourth in steal percentage, third in forced turnovers. They really guard you and are very disruptive on that end of the floor. Offensively, Coach Hamilton has very balanced teams. You know, they're led by Watkins, who's averaging over 17 a game in just 25 minutes, which is hard to do. So a lot of respect for their team. Like the direction we're headed as a group. Was very pleased with our second half on Friday night in the win, and I've had a couple good days of prep going in. Would love to have a great crowd. Last week of classes, so want to see a huge student turnout at 8 o'clock on the SEC Network.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned them defensively. Are they similar to any of the teams you have played to this point this year with how aggressive they are?
No, I don't think so. I think they have great size and length at every possession. Every position. So a lot of interchangeable parts are able to switch and cause a lot of havoc. When you do beat them off the dribble, their rim protection is amongst the best in the country. So you have to make great decisions there.
I'm sure you guys have talked about it, but the discrepancy between the first half and the second half, shooting the ball wise, I'm curious, does any of that have to do with some of the creators on y'all's team, Sears and Carter, sometimes getting in a little foul trouble? Or just like what do you think are some of the things that have led to some of the discrepancies there?
It's a great question, something we've studied a lot. There's definitely a difference in our percentages and our efficiency numbers first half to second half. I thought in Friday's game, we didn't play with the pace that we needed to, both in the full court and half court. I thought the ball really stuck. We were stagnant. Execution was poor. And then I thought you saw the adjustments and improvement there in the second half. You know, clearly when you're playing teams like Florida State, when you look at how good the SEC is this year, you have to be able to play 40 minutes. So just working on our consistency there. And getting off to a better start offensively. You know, the defensive numbers were phenomenal. We forced 12 turnovers, but we didn't turn that into any points at all, which is an area that we've worked on these last couple of days.
Coach, how important is finishing out the non-conference schedule strong with a lot of wins going into SEC play in the new year? How important is that for your team?
Well, they're huge opportunities, and we talked about that a lot going into the season. We know basically every SEC game is going to be a quad one game, as good as the league is. I think the SEC had as good a November as any league in history, other than I think the 2016 Big 12. So it's a loaded league. when you get these opportunities, you know, the two Big 12 wins that we have, playing against Florida State, you know, that's going to be a really good team. I think in 2 weeks we have SMU and Dallas. You have to take advantage of those opportunities. And so we've gotten off to a good start there, but we got to put all our focus toward this Florida State team.
That was head coach Matt McMahon of the LSU Tigers. Cam Carter leading LSU with 16.7 points per game, and you got Jordan Sears right behind him at 14.7. And the guys whose name I love, Victorious Miller, is coming off the bench with double figures the last five outings and is averaging 11 points a contest. Like I mentioned, pregame coverage will be starting at 7:30 on the Bet 92.9 FM and 1350 AM and 8 o'clock tip-off over there. We're going to take a break, be back with more sports talk, wrapping things up as we get ready for the Saints Hour right after this here on WWL. Back in on Sports Talk as we close things out, heading to the 7 o'clock hour for the Saints Hour with Mike Haas and Mickey Loomis. A little bit of black and gold news today. The Saints signed safety Miller Bradford and center Sincere Hainworth to the practice squad. They also terminated the practice squad contract of running back Jacob Cabote. Tomorrow will be the black and golds back at practice day. We'll get the first injury report of the week. Definitely be interested to find out the latest on a guy like center Eric McCoy. I know Darren Rizzi seemed very positive about him being available for this Sunday. And also a guy like Lucas Patrick talked about having all five starting offensive linemen back in the game. Obviously be a huge boost for this team right now. They need anybody healthy back. And a guy like Eric McCoy, we've talked about so much how much he does mean to this offense.
Yeah, all five starting offensive linemen back. And we talked with Mark Schlereth in the 5 o'clock hour. No Dexter Lawrence for the Giants. Their all-world nose tackle,
right,
who had 9 sacks in the first 7 games. He got injured, an elbow injury against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, and now he's been placed on the IR, so his season's basically done. So that's a huge break for the Saints. So the Saints are getting their offensive line healthy, and they're going up against a banged-up Giants defensive line. Coach Rizzi said it last night during the coaches' show. They want to win in the trenches. I mean, it's better to do it when you have, you know, your key piece is healthy and they don't. So
there's no excuses for this Giants game either. I think you can look at a team that has quit on a season, and it looks like these players are so disinterested right now with what's going on there. And you feel bad, obviously, for a guy like Malik Nabers, who's even voiced his frustrations.
No, I mean, I told that to Schlereth. It's just like they quit against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right.
They flat out quit. And I like Brian Daboll as a coach. I don't know if he survives this year. Joe Shane has been kind of a mess of a GM there. I think he's probably more likely to get canned. We'll see what happens, but Schlereth was right, man. The Giants are a nightmare right now. We'll get more into preview of them as we get further in the week, but the Saints should obviously pick up their fifth win.
For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Thanks for tuning in. Up next, Mike Haas and Mickey Loomis on the Saints Now are coming up next on WWL.